Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Get social. Facebook.com/WEEI and WEEI Sports on Instagram. Now more of OMF on EEI.
Swing ground ball hit to the mound. Fulmer has it. Fires high into center field.
He looked rattled out there. Of course, a lot of it was his own fault. Throwing the ball in the crapper in center field.
The drive to left field. High and deep. Back by the wall. Grossman looking up, and this ball is gone.
Do we see a position player tonight?
I would think so.
Very likely.
A three-run homer for Jacoby Jones, and just like that, it's 9-6.
You know, when they're up 8-2, I didn't really think I'd be feeling these emotions right now here in the sixth.
He makes the catch, and the Red Sox beat the Detroit Tigers in the first of a three-game series. The final, Boston 11 and Detroit 7.
Throw it in the crapper, Christian. That is baseball talk.
It is.
I think I jinxed
the high-level baseball
position
talk.
Position player line.
Exactly.
I was 8-2. I was everyone's going two-thirds of an inning. I'm like, AJ's going to run out of people, right?
It's a Wednesday with AC Alex Cora interview brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market, official supermarket of the Red Sox Radio Network, Arbella Insurance, and by Zenni, the official eyewear of the Boston Red Sox. Major league style of minor league prices. Visit Zenni.com. And joining us right now on the Harbor One Hotline is indeed Alex Cora. AC, how are you?
Good. How are you?
Good.
We're doing fine.
So doing good.
Let's start with last night's game, and I'm wondering what the thought process is. I know you had Monday night off. You get off to a tremendous start. You're blowing them out. How did you feel when you had to go deep into that bullpen and you needed five outs from your closer?
Yeah, I mean, we'll take the win, right? And, you know, it's still a big league win, but in those instances, you're trying to rest guys. We didn't do the job in the sixth inning. We had to go to Ottavino and Darwinson, who had pitched three games out of four in Texas, and go to Barnsey. You know, it wasn't perfect, obviously, but we take the win, and then we'll see how it goes tonight. You know, we got Martin. Hopefully he can go deep into the game, and we can rest some of the guys back in the bullpen.
You know, Alex, I know you probably look at Texas and say missed opportunities as far as scoring some runs, and you know the saying, the answer is always the other way. And last night I thought you guys, to a T, it's Hunter Renfroe, Christian Vasquez. It's just like when you guys sort of get locked in the other way, it seems like that offense just clicks.
Yeah, I mean, and this is around the league. Today I saw a stat of the Seattle bullpen. I think they got a 1.84 ERA this season. And, you know, pitchers are not giving in. And it seems like they're attacking everybody with four-seamers or hard stuff away. And it's kind of like, well, if you want to get under the ball, too bad for you, you know. And that's where everybody is swing-wise. So you got to take your hits. You got to stay up the middle, go the other way. Then when the game, you know, you get up six runs, then you don't see the plus-plus guys in those situations late in games. And that's when you can add on and hit your homers and all that. But I do believe that hitting at this level is a lot harder now because of the stuff. If you are in a dogfight in the sixth, seventh inning, you're going to see plus stuff regardless. You know, it's 97, 98, some guy throwing 100. So you better take your singles the other way, stay up the middle, because if not, it's going to be hard to for you to get yours and get your RBIs.
So, I mean, I guess that's obviously why you just, you know, want these guys to be, I guess, just aggressive with their approach, knowing that the other guy's not backing down, so you can't be passive, right? So if you're passive, then you're just kind of, you know, walking into a trap.
The numbers, they back you up in that, you know, like 0-0 counts, 1-0 counts, 2-0 counts, 3-0 counts. We love swinging a 3-0. You have to take advantage of those counts because with two strikes, it's hard to hit. I don't know how, you know, obviously I know he's very talented. I know how he does it. But Xander Bogaerts is unreal. You know, Xander will take middle fastballs right away. He's down 0-1. And then he might take a good slider down and away. He's 0-2. And then he'll battle back and he gets a double or hits a home run in a 2-2 count. And that's not easy to do. That's why in 18 we talk about it, right? Like you hunt fastballs and you put good swings on it and you do damage. I think we did an okay job in 19. I think the score of the ball games, especially early in the season, didn't help us to be aggressive. But this year, although we're chasing pitches, especially with men in scoring position, off-speed pitches, but we've been swinging at pitches middle a lot, and that's what we need to do. It's very hard to hit at this level, and if you are behind in the count all the time, it's going to be harder.
I know we talked about this before the season, and you had a good idea as to what to expect. I thought it was interesting last night with you and A.J. Hinch out there as managers in that game last night, two guys who certainly paid the price and came forward and kind of basically took responsibility. Did you see the scene in Yankee Stadium at all last night where the fans were all over those Astros players? And I'm wondering how you feel about those Astros players because they're going to get a lot more heat, I think, than you and AJ will. But really, did they pay the price that you guys paid?
Yeah, I saw it. And, you know, obviously it was interesting to say the least, you know. What we did was wrong. And, you know, three people got suspended. Another one, he doesn't have a job in baseball. I still don't know how or why because he was a player at that point. And then the guys, it's going to be around them for a while. And I know Dusty made a good point. There's only, what, four or five guys that play with us in 2017. But, I mean, this is what we did, and people are paying the price in different ways. And it was a different atmosphere in Yankee Stadium with only 10,000 people. I can only imagine when they have 100% when the Red Sox go there. That'll be interesting. But I mean, it wasn't easy. I know it's hard and to some of those guys. You know, but you know, they didn't get suspended. Obviously, we know that. But I knew it was going to be hard on them. You know, the fans, they're going to remind us, you know, what we did, and that's their right. You have to respect that. Like I said yesterday, there's a lot of people are happy that I'm back. There's others that they don't agree with it, and I understand that part, and I understand why in Texas they boo me, and when I go to Houston, I don't know. I don't even know what reaction I'm going to get there, right? Ooh. But I know in New York it's not going to be pleasant, but like I told you guys before the season, you know, as a group, as a family, as an organization, you know, we decided that this is what we wanted to do as a group, and I'm ready for it. It's something that I know it was going to happen. If I wasn't ready for it, I'll be in Caguas back home just with the kids and doing other stuff in my hometown.
So, Alex, you guys, not many transactions. A lot of it has to do with health, right, which has been nice. But obviously the minor league season starting up last night. And I know about a week ago, you obviously Franchy Cordero's name comes up, and you say, where's he going to get competitive at bats? Well, now you have a minor league season. How does the start of minor league season change as far as maybe this guy getting competitive at bats in AAA or seeing different bullpen arms? Do you want to see these guys for a week down there compete, or is there – how does that process work?
I mean, obviously they started yesterday, and the good thing about having the minor leagues is that those guys are competing. You know, people are getting prepared for them. They're prepared for the opposition. It's different, you know, and they're going to keep getting better. They're going to keep, you know, growing as players, and that's going to help us out. At the same time, as an organization, if we feel that, you know, we need to make moves, now is a lot easier because they're competing. You know, it's not about the big leaguers. It's about, you know, who we have in the minor leagues, who's competing. Now everybody's competing. They're getting their repetitions. They're getting their four at-bats every single day. They're running the bases, playing defense, and that's what it's all about. So I think everybody's happy that minor league baseball is back. It helps every organization now. It's a lot easier to make decisions based on performance or resetting players or promoting players because of the performance, right? But you still have to be patient. They only play one game in AAA. But now you have those guys competing, so that helps you out.
You said, I think, a few days ago that Franchi, you know, just kind of in a bad place or just struggling right now. And yeah. And I get, you know, you got to give up on the kid. He's a young kid, but he hasn't played much, right? The last 3 or 4 years, I think 2017 is the last time he got at bats. And just, do you just think 400 at bats, whatever, playing every day, maybe you get the most out of him if you give him that opportunity to play down there?
I mean, those decisions are, you know, we have to think about it as organization. But right now, we do feel like he's making progress the last few days, making contact, swinging strikes, not chasing pitches. We were in the same boat a little bit with Hunter, and he starts swinging the bat. I mean, we're not going to give up on the kid. He has a lot of upside. And, you know, one thing for sure, he hasn't stopped working. Like I said, he was in a bad place because it's one of those that you're so conscious about making contact that it's actually working against you because you're not aggressive. You're not putting your best swing in the pitches that you can drive. And in Texas, it felt better. It looked better. So hopefully he's playing tonight, actually. He's playing left field. Hopefully tonight, you know, he can, you know, hit a few balls off the wall and get going.
All right, so we're talking to Alex Cora, manager of the Boston Red Sox. So we got to get our weekly update on the most watched non-player on your team. That's Chris Sale. Heard that he threw off the mound yesterday. Can you just kind of break down the actual stages for me, the stages of Chris Sale? So he pitches off the mound. Now, is this just soft toss? Is this, okay, let me see if you can get to 50? Are you gradually ramping him up? And then what do you need to see in order to ramp him up?
Yesterday was just like, okay, you're doing an outstanding job with your flat ground. He's not throwing 100%, but there was a lot of effort behind those throws for the last week and a half. So yesterday was kind of like, okay, now we can move on to the next stage, and it's getting on the mound. I don't know how many pitches were. I don't think it was like 15 pitches. It was actually less. But for him to get in the mound, feel the mechanics, get that feel of, you know, throwing on the slope and throwing it to the plate, I talked to him yesterday, and he's excited. So now I don't know what's the next step, probably kind of like flat ground and get back in the mound for X amount of pitches. And now you can see, you know, what might happen, right? I can't tell you, you know, when, but, you know, he feels now that this is going to be part of what we're going to do this year. He's going to be part of this, and he's very excited about it. I do believe him being around us the first few weeks of the season and the way we play, it gave him an incentive. It's not that he didn't want to come back, right? It's kind of like, shoot, I'm coming back to a good baseball team, and we have a chance to make something really cool happen here in Boston, and I'm going to be part of it. I think that actually helped him out, and all I can say, he's in a great place mentally, physically, and he's very excited about the chances of him contributing to a winning team.
Alex, you talked about getting full crowds at the ballpark, and unfortunately, I don't think we're going to have full crowds here until the third week of August, but you saw it in Texas. I'm sure it makes a difference. I wonder if you sense that there's any change in the whole process of you guys traveling and the testing and all of this stuff, because I got to believe it's a burden for a player that is accustomed to just having a normal schedule every single day.
We're actually playing against a team that is, they got the 85% people vaccinated. And you can tell in the dugout, it's a lot different. I tell you, I don't want to go into details with the testing and all that, but I can tell you yesterday in the first inning was a lot different than over the weekend. It felt very quiet. I don't want to say the guys were flat because they came out to play. You saw that. But the atmosphere was so much different. And as a manager, you wonder, you know, like what we need to do to you know, if we fall behind, you know, what we have to do to get these guys going. You know, it didn't happen, but it was loud. It was loud from pitch one in Texas until the last one. I don't know if it made a difference score-wise, right? But the atmosphere was unreal, you know, something that these guys, they haven't had in a year and a half. And you could tell the difference for how good our fans have been. You know, the 5,000 people that come here and they get into it, it was night and day. And yesterday I was telling the coaches, I said, you know what, this is weird that, you know, it was so loud, you know, loud and a lot of noise. And then you come here and it felt a lot quieter, you know, than actually our previous homestands.
Do you are you guys close to that 85%? Or you know how close you are, I should say?
I don't know how close we are, but we're trending up.
Do you think you're going to get there?
I believe so. Yeah.
You have to twist some arms with some of these guys?
No, I'm not twisting arms. I'm not twisting arms. I just gave my arm. They gave me my two shots. Actually, today is my second week after his second shot, so I think I can take Ubers and Lyft. Yeah, that's part of the rules.
Oh, so okay. So with the mask, without a mask, or does it even matter at this point?
No mask.
Wow.
While working out.
That's, jeez.
Yeah.
But you still got to wear one in the dugout even though you're vaccinated, right?
Yes.
Even doing your post-game interviews, I see you have a mask on. Is that just for...
Because Kevin is right around me, so we got to stick to the protocol.
Oh, okay.
Hey, one thing I wanted to ask you, you're talking about the stuff of these guys, and I agree with you. It's just ridiculous. Everyone throws 97 starters with nasty stuff. We were joking about like moving that mound back, and one thing came up yesterday we were talking about. I don't know if you've talked to pitchers or not, but has anybody started talking about how that adjustment would be? Not maybe with the fastballs, but with breaking balls. Like, how difficult would that be for these guys if, for say, they ever did something like that?
Well, there's a few players, and you play. I mean, back in the day, players adjust a little bit better, right? That, you know, this guy has a great breaking ball. Let me back up. You know, they will erase that chalk line of the batter's box, right, and then move back. And that breaking ball never got there. It was actually a ball, you know, and this is not me, but kind of like I played with Hector Villanueva. He played for the Cubs and who else? Hector played for whoever. And I played with him in winter ball, and he would tell, hey, he has a good breaking ball. Just erase that shock line and move back. You know, I never did it, but, I mean, it's going to be hard to get it there. It's hard, and I think mechanics are going to be off, and we might run into more injuries, right? And there's a lot of people that are injured this year. So I don't know. I don't know if that's a great idea. I got to ask the pitcher how they feel about it, but like I said, man, just wait for this season, just play it out, see where we at offensively, see if they hit more home runs. Maybe it's the approach that is going to change. People are going to get back to hitting line drives up the middle the other way, and the game will, you know, will get back to normal, I think.
Okay, so obviously, how do you feel about Mac Jones being drafted with the 15th pick for the Patriots?
Pretty solid. I mean, that's
right?
A great pick.
A-plus?
That was a great pick. Yeah, I mean, you're the one. You're the expert, bro. You're the expert.
No, right? Here's the thing about the NFL. Here's the thing. Everybody's an expert.
Right.
I mean, everybody is an expert.
And nobody's an expert.
And nobody knows anything.
Right.
That's the crazy part, because you guys are going against this guy.
They already started the pre-draft show in Bristol for next year. It started actually yesterday. It's amazing how they covered the draft for 12 months. You know, it's like, what is this?
It's bringing it up because, you know, you guys are, you know, facing this guy tonight, number one overall pick in 2018. And he's finally seen, you know, he's finally getting some action. He's only made 12 career starts. And, you know, the comparison between how a football player comes up, you got to start right away. You draft these guys, you know, number one overall pick, and we're going to sit there and let you, you know, marinate for 3 years. Well, what do you know about this guy? I mean, can you tell us anything about him now?
Fastball, 94, 95 with a cutter, split, and a curveball. He got good stuff, you know. Like, you just got to be patient, get him in the zone, and put good swings on it.
Hey, is Rafi in there tonight?
Rafi's in there tonight, yeah.
No problems with that shoulder.
Nah, he's ready. He's ready to go. Yeah.
All right, so I'm looking at the Doppler radar here. It looks like there's a nice window to get this game in tonight. Is that what you
mean? We got a window. A ventana. We got a ventana. Yeah.
By the way,
no, go ahead.
You hear the Spanish word the other day, unnesen by Ek. Do you guys?
No, what did he drop?
Can we use it on the air? Is it okay? Don't start throwing swear words in Spanish on our airway here and get us fired.
They allowed it in this. It was about a breaking ball. You take a look at it, Lou, and you tell me if that's allowed. I mean, it was like.
Well, I'm gonna. Could you actually tell me the name of the Green Bay Packers general manager?
That one's even better.
So wait a minute. Hold on. You're asking Lou to interpret the Spanish word.
I gotta find the word.
No, you guys are bilingual too. Yeah, so yeah, you guys can look for it.
For those of you who don't speak Spanish, El Niño means the Niño.
I gotta go. I got meetings.
Okay. Yeah, now you want to get rid of us. All right, we'll talk to you next week. Have a good one. All right.
Thank you. You guys too.
Alex Corr, right here on OMF.